the eagle I seek, beloved. If I follow this eagle, it will take me to the heart of God. I do my best following it in everything I do. It is always there, but still sometimes I get lost. Then I go to the top of the mountain to sit. In this way I always find back to my beloved, to the heart of God. I love you so much, Baba. In gratitude, Mopala. To follow the eagle is not easy. Then you have to be ready to go anywhere, no? To follow the eagle. It means adventure. The eagle will show you places that no human goes. That's what the eagle does. If you become friends with the eagle, nobody will understand you then. But who cares? When the eagle knows. That is the only thing we can do. I do my best following it in everything I do. Dipti is still here? I didn't finish your letter yesterday. And I don't like to have things unfinished. I wanted to share another thing with you. It has been really strong for me since the last retreat in Brazil. I read Yogananda's book during the retreat, and he told many stories about Babaji, and since then, every day, you and him are knocking on my door. Same guy knocking, Dipti. There isn't one day that goes by without me feeling his presence. I also often talk to him. I don't know how I got this familiar feeling with all these stories and Kriya Yoga and me, who doesn't really manage to sit still most of the time. With my whole being in gratitude, loves your Dipti. Well, it's people like you who needs these people. Why should he disturb somebody who is absorbed in meditation? No need, no? We are here to remind you. And then something that is asleep in your heart, slowly, slowly remember. That is the first thing, you get tempted, no? And then you see it, see the presence, and then you see something is possible, something you never could dream about. Then something, in spite of this, person who never really managed to sit still, something is start coming forth. And this autobiography of a yogi from Yogananda, he did a lot, because it's a very old book, before all these stories now. It was not many books around. I remember also, I read it when I was a teenager. And I remembered many of these stories. Maybe it's difficult for you to sit still now, but you will remember. You are not new here. Little restless, but not new. That restlessness will go. The more you remember, the more it will go. Yogananda, he says, the soul loves to meditate. For in contact with the spirit lies its greatest joy. If you experience mental resistance during meditation, restlessness, remember that reluctance to meditation is only from the ego. It does not belong to the soul. The soul has a different language. The heart loves to be in peace, to be silent. But the ego is restless. The mind is restless. But the more you remember, the more you're coming back, the more this restlessness is leaving you. And the more you remember, and the more easy it is. But the habit of the mind is very deep. That's why if you start tasting this, if you start remembering, that means that now it's an opening. Go deeper into it, because it can be very fragile. It takes time for it to settle. That this becomes a total remembrance. So if you feel something new is happening and it's a joy just to be, go deeper. Yogananda says, learn to be calm and you will always be happy. He who is persistent will realize God. But you have so be so persistent that you are ready to follow the eagle. There's many things that is much more easy. There's many stories in India and in the Himalayas about these saints that is always there, and sometimes they materialize, and sometimes they get the new body, and they all remind you of the same thing. And this story with Babaji is very beautiful. It was one Lahiri Mahasaya, who became a great guru and did a lot for people. He was the master of Yukteswar, who was the guru of this Yogananda, who wrote the book that it came out. And this Lahiri, he was very unusually in those times in India, because he was married, he had children, he did his business, but he was a great mystic. That was very outside the traditional sannyasin yogi situation. And he was up in Himalayas, the story goes, in a place called Raniket. I've been there myself. It's a beautiful area. And he was walking in the hills there. He was working for the British. The British had India then. And then he met this beautiful man who became his guru, who was Babaji. And then Babaji said that, no, you have to show this teaching. First he was training him in Kriya Yoga and being with him, having satsang. Then he had to start spreading this, because these people are not interested in the masses. They have to find somebody who maybe spreads it down to the lowland. Those guys want to be in the heights. And it has to come out, because they know that this was a very dark area. This is even more dark area now of human times on earth, because the humans forget everything about the divine. They are just lost in the materialistic, they are lost in the outside, they are lost in the mind, they have forgotten the heart, the soul, the divine, the peace, the meditation, understanding, wisdom. So this was one reminder through this Lahiri that maybe it will touch somebody. And this Kriya Yoga is nothing special. It has always been, all the techniques has always been there. It's nothing new. It's really just to be aware of the breath. And you have different levels and different breathing patterns that anybody can play with. But the main thing, what it comes down to, is just to have a natural breath and be aware of it. So it comes down to awareness. It's not about the technique. But maybe you need techniques to be natural. So Osho's dynamic meditation is really just a modern Kriya Yoga, if you want to put names on it. Because first, you are so constricted, you have to open up the system. You have to disturb and break down the tensions. So dynamic dust is much quicker, much more effective. Because you have to lose control. You have to shock the body out of this constricted state of being that you normally are getting used to. And then slowly, slowly you can find your natural pattern of the breathing. So these signs of Kriya Yoga also have many different steps. But it's very easy that when heady people hear about it and start practicing, they don't really know. But all the saints and all the yogis and all the traditions have talked about the importance of the breath. To be aware of the breath. And it's the most easy. That was the main technique of Buddha also. Vipassana. Just awareness of breath. But how can you be aware of the breath when you don't have any awareness? First you have to let go of the mind. That's where all the techniques comes. But the more you fall into a silent state of being and you remember yourself, you can more connect with these simple methods, just being aware of your breathing. Or remembering God, or the Guru, or the name of the Guru, or Aum. It depends on the different types. Some connects more to the sound, some to a feeling, some to the body. So this awareness of breath is very easy because the body is all the time breathing. Even if you disappear in your mind and are not present, the body is breathing. The body won't stop breathing. Even if you forget yourself, the body won't stop breathing. So it's always an anchor. It's always a reminder you can come back to the breath. The breath is happening in the moment. And if you are connected, focused in the moment, whatever it is, then you are here. You can't be two places at the same time. You have to only be occupied with something. So this is a practice to get more and more steady in the moment. And they have so many techniques like this. Like following the mind, where the thoughts are coming from. Where does the thought arise? Or where does it go? When it's finished, there is a gap. People are focusing on the thoughts. But the thoughts must come from somewhere. What was there before the thought? Where does it go when the thoughts are gone? It must be a gap. Focus on that gap. That is another technique. That is more following the mantra. The breath is more the physical. But it is a link between the physical and the spiritual. The breath is in the body, the physical body, but it's not physical. It beyonds to the invincible. So it's both. So the breath is very mysterious. Or feeling your own heart. Be centered in the heart. In love, and you come back. So many, many techniques are there. But this tradition, and they say that this Lahiri, he started bringing this out. But it's nothing new. And then he met someone also, Yukteswar, who became the disciple of Lahiri. And then Yogananda met Yukteswar and became his disciple. And this Yukteswar, he was a really good man. They say he was longing for truth from the very beginning. And he met his master when he was 17. And he said, "We entered a oneness of silent love. This silent wisdom flowed from the heart of my master to the disciple. And time disappeared." This was not the first time I realized that I sat at his holy feet. No, he starts remembering. This is not the first time I sat at his holy feet. No, I start remember what I was missing, what I was looking for. No, again, I found my path. Then time and space disappear, and you connect more with the timeless, which is what the Master is there to remind you about. Then whatever you have done in your life doesn't seem so special anymore. You start getting a bigger picture. But both this Lahiri and Yukteswar, they were more just beautiful traditional men. They needed Yogananda, who was more intellectual, to write book, no? But this is the beautiful thing in the Himalayas. That many places is soaked with this presence of different saints and mystics and enlightened beings. It has been so many of them. And some places is really charged. And I have met many of these souls there, with and without bodies. And caves, I've been in caves where you go in and time totally disappear. I came out, I didn't know if I had been there for 10 minutes or for 100 years. That's a totally different, it's not like it's not the twilight zone, it's just totally delightful. You remember something different, because if you are sensitive to it, then it's charged with that energy. That's why many places where the saints and tombs in India, they are made in marble, because the marble keeps the energy. I remember Osho, he wanted his whole room in marble, because the energy keeps inside. And for the seeker, for the disciple, it can be very valuable, but only for one who is connected. Ordinary people, they don't feel anything, because they are not sensitive to those vibrations. When Osho left to America, then I was left in the ashram, and then I got message I could stay in his room. And he has been staying in this place for 7 years. And then suddenly I could sleep there. And it was like going into a different reality for me. And in the ashram, they were just wondering, you are all the time there and you are not going to do anything. And I just didn't want to leave. I stopped everything outside as much as I can. And then I found out that I had then somebody has to take care of the garden. So then I started taking care of the garden, watering the garden, no? Because you need water in the hot Indian sun. Then I was safe. Because the garden needed water. Yes, we need to sell all the things, the machines and the printing press and the cars and all the video things, and everything had to get sold. We sold everything in the ashram. We didn't know we would come back. In fact, we were sure we wouldn't come back. But we did come back. But nobody knew at that time. But those months was very blissful for me before I went to America. I didn't even used to go out the door. I just used the gliding window to go out in the garden. And then I went back again the same way. And sleeping in that bed that Osho had been sleeping in, I couldn't want to go at all anywhere. And then we came all the way to America, and then Osho called me in and I talked to him. And he said, no, you can stay here now. And I said, well, I'm happy to go back also. Because that was in the middle of the winter and everybody was just working, very cold. And he was in silence. And he was giggling and we looked at each other and he got the picture and we both enjoyed. And he said, okay, you can do some things. And then he gave me some things to do in Europe and on the way, and then I went back again. 3 months more, then spring was there, then okay, now we go back. Soaked to the bone. But up to that moment, all these techniques can be helpful. Krishna, he says in the Gita, oh my dear Arjuna, the mind is restless and so hard to control, but by practice and by detachment, it can be restrained. Yoga is very hard to attain, I think, for a man who cannot control himself, but it can be attained by him who has controlled himself and who strives by right means. What is right means? It means an innocent heart. A yogi who is striving diligently is purified of all sins and becomes a perfect sannyasin yogin through many births and reaches his supreme goal. And of all the yogis, even he who possesses of faith worships me with his mind absorbed in me, is, in my opinion, the greatest, says Krishna. That it's beyond technique. He who worships me and his mind is absorbed in me is, in my opinion, the greatest. Then you go beyond technique then. You are already absorbed. What can you do? Doing what? That is what they call Guru Yoga in Tibet. It is the highest yoga. It goes beyond technique. This is what Krishna is talking about. He says, the way of meditation. In a clean spot, in a peaceful spot, or in nature, sit firm, holding your body, neck and head erect and still, and gaze steadily at the tip of your nose without looking around. Keep your focus. If it is to look at something, if it is to follow your breath, if it is to feel your heart, if it is to remember something that reminds you of peace, find something that you can keep yourself in the moment. One should purify the passage of prana by means of inhalation, retention and exhalation of the breath, and should also practice slowly in the inverse order which the senses comes under control. Raising also the name of the beloved or the word Om to the heart by means of the breath of pranayama is also very helpful. Krishna says to his chief disciple Arjuna, the man who has no desires and cares for nothing attains devotion to me. Attains devotion to me. That's what I say. You can do surrender, you can do devotion. But maybe you're lucky enough to attain it. It doesn't come cheap. You have to be ready, you have to be pure. You have to have an understanding, a deeper understanding, to come to this devotion that Krishna is talking about, that everybody has been talking about for thousands of years in different words. I look after the welfare of such ever-devout persons. Krishna says he looks after these people. Of course, you have to look after that which is devoted to truth. It comes by itself. By the devotion, he knows me truly, how much and what I am. Then, having known me truly, he enters into me. Then no separation then. When you fall totally in tune, then you get absorbed into that. Then it's difficult to find yourself then. No, a different thing is happening. You can't remember yourself. Something else has happened. Everything becomes little ungrounded, floating, drunk. Many are the means described in the scriptures for the attainment of the highest good, such as love, performance of duty, self-control, truthfulness, sacrifices, gifts, austerity, charity, pilgrimages, vows, observance of moral precepts, etc., etc. But of all I could name, I say love is the highest. Love and devotion that makes one forgetful of everything else. Love that unites the lover with me. The bliss one finds true love is true. Once that joy is realized, all earthly pleasures fade into nothingness. No, there is no effort anymore to let go of anything because you have felt something much more valuable. The beloved there to the true devotees are attained by love and devotion. This devotion purifies even the lowliest of the low. He said, anybody can change. Even the lowliest of the low. Even the one who is really, really down, almost drowning in the mud. Yes, is still alive, still there is a possibility. Anybody can change. And that change might happen very quickly also. Krishna says, let not your mind run after the things of the world, for they are empty as dreams. Give your mind to me, devote yourself to me, meditate on me. This is always misunderstood. Because only the devotee knows that the guru is your true self. He's bringing you back to yourself. The ego people, the mind, they only can see this must be just a big ego. Krishna says, give your mind to me, devote yourself to me, meditate on me. This is why people never understand if they have never tasted it. It is the same as Jesus says, only through me will you enter the kingdom of God. Only by tasting that space what you have forgotten, only by merging with my consciousness, then you remember. That is what they are saying. my dear friend Anjuna, neither yoga nor knowledge, nor study, nor austerity, nor renunciation captivates me so much as true devotion to me. And this devotion you cannot get. You cannot do. It happens. Because it's bigger than you. Aum Shanti. Be more and more connected with your breath, with your relaxation, with your movements. Use this time to just feel yourself more and more and relax more into yourself. Aum Shanti. The mountains will support you. The forest will support you. I will support you.